Welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We're in chapter 24, and we've been talking about the different civil laws, so we're going to pick up with verse 17. Deuteronomy 24, verse 17. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing.
So here again we're talking about principle, and here he has to emphasize, don't ignore executing justice in behalf of foreigners and widows. Justice. Justice is doing what's right, you understand? It's not just passing the verdict, it's doing the right thing. And one of the things he says, you can't take a widow's garment as security. Don't take advantage of them, you understand? And I'm telling you, I have a problem with this with ministers taking advantage of widows and people on fixed income and telling them that they need to send this money and send that money and all that thing. The Lord has never, in all the years I've been in ministry, the Lord has never instructed me to tell anybody to give money. He's instructed me to teach on the blessing of giving. But even if that is not receiving an offering after you get through with the teaching, it's for the benefit of the people. And so what's incorporated in this law is don't take advantage of people. You do right by people. And especially like with the widows here, don't you take their garment as a security. Just remember where you came from. You used to be slaves in Egypt. You didn't enjoy that, so don't put someone else in bondage. And I'm telling you, people today are in such financial bondage that it's not even funny. And so much of that is done in the name of God. It's presented in a way to try to make you feel guilty if you don't do it. I remember many years ago, long before I went in ministry, when I got back in church, I was in church and they were wanting to buy new pews. And, I mean, I loved God in the way that I knew to love God, and I wanted to obey God, but there was a pressure there, and I ended up borrowing money to buy a pew. You understand? That's not God's way. Now, I know that today. But here again, you strap yourself down to something, and now you're obligated to keep it. You incur the debt, you've got to pay the debt. You understand? And I'm pretty sensitive when it comes to stuff like that. I don't want to take advantage of someone, you know. They want to give. Listen, you're under no obligation. Just like with this college. That tuition is not going to defer you. You understand? Our objective is to get the Word of God in you, not to make money off of you. And for those that don't have the money to pay, then they can still come. They can still earn their degree just like anybody else. We're about getting the Word of God in you, not taking advantage of it. This is the principle that the law is teaching here. And we have to live by the principle. We're not living by the law, but we're living by the principle of law. You do right. You do right by people. The Lord told me at the very beginning, freely you receive, freely give. You can't sell the Word of God. But look how many millions of dollars people are making off of all this Christian material trying to sell the Word of God. I get stuff on a regular basis, almost a daily basis, trying to get me to buy materials from these Christian organizations to use as their outlines or their this or their that. It's not free. It's selling you this. No, I don't believe in exploiting God. I believe in doing justice by people. Don't take advantage of people. That's what the law was teaching. The law was given not to take advantage of people, but to keep people from being taken advantage of. That's why I wanted judges who hated a bribe. Not just that wouldn't receive a bribe, but who hated a bribe. To where you can't be bought, because if you can be bought, you're going to pervert justice. God can't be bought. And He's going to judge righteously. And we must do the same.
Verse 19. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast got a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hands.
All right, this verse and the next two things is dealing with greed. That's the bottom line. When you reap your harvest and you forget a bundle, don't go back and get that. You leave that for the foreigners, for the widows, for the orphans. You leave that out there. And if you'll do this, you'll be blessed by God. Don't be greedy. Just understand that there's other people that are in need. And you take care of the need. I'm not talking about panhandlers who make a profession out of this stuff. I'm talking about people in legitimate need. You understand? Don't take advantage of people. Don't be so greedy that you've got to get every dime out of it. I was doing something yesterday, and I was using a connector. And that connector was not long enough to do the job I wanted to do. And I said something to Heather. I said, but you know, they didn't save us a fraction of a penny by not putting enough in it. Greed. Greed. I said, this is what greed will drive you to do. Just take advantage. You have something that long, and most of it's plastic, and you have a little bit in the middle that's a metal. That is morally wrong. It's morally wrong. Oh, it's legal by law, but it's morally wrong because you're taking advantage of people.
Verse 20. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't get greedy.
Now here with the grapes. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow.
See, the Lord's looking out after everybody. He's looking out after the people that have grown these things. Listen, I've blessed you. You understand? To where you can have this harvest, where you can have this fruit, where you can have these grapes and all that. You're blessed. I want to bless other people. So don't be so greedy that you can't leave a blessing behind you. I think about Boaz with Ruth. It says he told his servants to drop handful on purpose. Not just if you forget. This lady's she's working hard. Reward her. Reward her. She's in a bad position. Have you ever been in a bad position? You ever been in lack? Man, have I been in lack? And so I feel for people who are not, well, that's your problem. No. That was the nation's problem. You take care of them. You understand? And I'm not talking about freeloading on welfare. But there is a legitimate welfare. People that can't help themselves. You understand? And there's many widows that I'm familiar with that they have to have family members helping them or they can't survive. No, we need to take care of people. That's the principle. But people try to beat the system. You understand? God's not blessing lazy people.
Verse 22, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing.
So here, twice, God said, remember where you came from. You didn't have it so well back there. Just remember that. And you look out for people here.
Now, chapter 25, this chapter documents civil laws regarding fair judgment and punishment. An ox treading grain, marrying the wife of a dead brother, punishment for a wife who took hold of another man's genitals, accurate weights and measures, and the command to annihilate Amalek's descendants. Verse 1. If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked.
So just simply, if you go to two men go to court to settle a matter, judge fairly. Justify the righteous, condemn the wicked. Even as if it's your own brother. It doesn't matter who it is. You do right in your judgment. And there's an old saying, it's not what you know, but who you know. You know, if you know the right people, you can get away with murder, as those saying goes. Mm-hmm. Not if you follow God's standard. You understand? Judge righteously. And he gives a lot of detail into this earlier in other parts of the Pentateuch concerning you don't favor the poor because he's poor. If the poor's wrong, you give a righteous judgment. He's convicted of the wrong he's done. Just because he's poor doesn't give him the right to steal. If he stole, he stole, and he's to be convicted for the stealing. Okay? And a righteous man, a wealthy man, he's not to be favored. If he's wrong, it doesn't matter if he's a billionaire, then you convict him of the wrong he's done. Don't show partiality. You understand? And I'm telling you what, one of the most impartial systems there are in the world is the American judicial system. All you have to do is hire some lawyer to get you off the hook and cut deals in the judges' chambers and all that. This violating the principle of the Word of God of judging fairly. Judge fairly. Do you understand? Judge fairly.
Verse 2. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault, by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee.
So here, judging righteously. So if a wicked man deserved to be beaten, then the judge says, all right, lie down. You lie down in front of the judge who passed judgment on you, okay? And then he's to be beaten before the judge, and there's a predetermined, the judge, dependent, it'll be proportionate to the crime, okay? And so the judge will determine how many blows is to be given to that particular person. So the person that's executing the blows can't just do it because he's a wicked man. In other words, what he's doing is enforcing the law. You understand? Not taking advantage of the man, of punishing the man for his wrongdoing. Now, what this is to do is to prevent inappropriate conduct when you're punishing the violator. The law restricted the maximum amount of blows that you give was 40. That's why the Jews incorporated in their tradition only 39 blows in case they miscounted. And so they were, rather than say, all right, 40 blows, they would do 39. Maybe we missed one. So we don't want to go over. Okay. But here again, this is given the punishment that the person deserves. And it's not done out of hostility. It's done out of legality. You understand? It's easy, you know, in law enforcement, you can abuse your authority. And it gets, and it happens. I mean, you know, most law enforcement officers are good people, but you get somebody in there that likes the power and likes to bully, and he can escalate a situation, or if he follows the ways of God, he can calm a situation, you understand. But you're not to go in there and just beat up somebody because you the authority. And, you know, because of a few abuses, now they videoed on everything they do, you know. Now they think the law's the bad guy and the criminal's the good guy. No, judge fairly. The law's not to abuse his authority. The criminal's not to get away with his crime. It's to be done fairly.
Verse 4, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn.
Now, Paul actually uses this in his teaching. But when they're using the ox to thresh the corn, the grain, the treading the grain, then if that ox gets hungry, he won't sleep. Leave him alone. He's working. Let him eat. Now, Paul brings that over. He said, why was that incorporated in the law? My paraphrase. Was that just for the ox's sake? Or does this have a deeper meaning? Paul says, this has a, my paraphrase, this has a deeper meaning. That just as the ox is working in that grain and treading that grain, God says, allow him to eat, then the minister who is depending on the ministry to support him, don't deprive him of the support. You understand? That's what this is all about. But here again, you don't want an ox in there eating all the grain. And you don't want a minister in there taking advantage of people. And I'm taken back at what ministers make. It's amazing. They're always wanting you to give to some cause, and they have 100 times more money than you do. No, let's be fair about all this, okay?
Verse 5, if brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn, which she beareth, shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel.
Now, you look at this, the same village, not that the brother has to relocate from one region to another region, okay? Mm-hmm. And so if they live in the same village and one dies without children, then his widow was not to marry outside the dead husband's family, but the brother of the dead husband was to marry that widow and give her the opportunity to have children. And the firstborn son was to take the father's name. That way that name is not wiped out of that nation, but that name goes on. But a man could choose not to obey the law. You understand? And here again, this is, you want to see a principle in this. This is showing that you prefer your dead brother over yourself. It's not, do I like his wife or do I not like his wife? It's you have a responsibility. Are you going to consider you, or are you going to consider your dead brother? That's what the principle in this thing is. Get your attention off of you and do what's right. Okay?
Verse 7, and if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders, and loose his shoe from off his foot, and spit in his face, and shall answer and say, so it shall be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house.
So a man could refuse not to marry his dead brother's wife. She was to take him to court. That's where the court was. You understand? You go to the gates. That's what we would call the court today. And you tell the officials that my husband's brother refuses to raise up his the name of his dead brother. He won't marry me. And so the elders of the city are to talk to him. Okay, the officials. They talk to him. And if he refuses to marry his brother's widow, then he was to remove his sandal, or she was to go to him and remove his sandal, and spit in his face, and say, this is what's done to the man who refuses to carry on the name of his dead brother. In other words, this is disgraceful. You have a disgraceful act here. You understand? Afterwards, this is done, you understand, before the officials of the city. Afterward, this man has a reputation. He has a reputation of being a disgrace to his family, a disgrace to his brother. You with me? And here again, it's just going back to the consideration of preferring others over yourself. And this is such a self-centered society that people will do unscrupulous things just to get what they want, not considering the big picture.
Verse 11, when men strive together with one another, and the wife of one draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and putteth forth her hand, and taketh him by the secrets, then thou shalt cut off her hand, thy eye shall not pity her.
Boy, this sounds like hard thing, tough, right? God's covering all the bases here. You know, God's not bashful. And he talks about this. So if these two men get in a fight and the other guy seems to be getting the best hand, then the wife can go in and help him out. If she takes hold of that man's genitals, right, wrong, or indifferent, cut her hand off. She's messing with his reproduction. Don't mess with someone's reproduction system. Okay? And he said, don't show her any mercy. Don't pity her. Now, that'll tell you you need to have a different method. If you're going to help him out, you better think twice about it. I won't say much more to that, okay?
I'm not saying anything. Verse 13. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and small. Thou shalt not have in thy house divers measures, a great and small. But thou shalt not have a perfect, but thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
So he's trying to keep the businessmen honest, okay? So you're selling. And so when you sell, your scales are calibrated one way to where you're actually selling less than what the guy thinks he's getting. The pound's not the pound, okay? Or if you're buying using scales that are giving you more than what you're paying for, God does not like unjust scales. Don't have two standards. Don't you have a standard for selling and a standard for buying? But you keep the standard for both and make sure your devices are accurate. Be fair in your business dealings with another. Here's why. It's going to affect your longevity of life. Unfair business practices are disgusting to God. You understand? That's why, you know, I used to be in trucking before I went into the ministry. And, you know, you have scales on the dock. You had scales in the checkout lane for your tractor trailers. And you charge the customer by the weight you're shipping. Okay? Those things had to be calibrated. And the state kept you, had to keep you honest on that to where your scales are given an accurate weight so you're not taking advantage of someone. Or if the DOT stops you and you have your weight card in that truck, that they don't take advantage of you by saying you're overweight when you have the proof that you are legally weight. So it keeps everybody honest. Okay?
We're so mixed up today. You can go to the grocery store and have two items, one being a smaller box, and then you have a bigger box. And you think you're getting a deal on the bigger box, but the bigger box will have less, it'll have a smaller quantity than the smaller box. We're just so goofed up today, getting things wrong, doing it the wrong way.
Yeah. Get the weight of the product inside the bag, not the total weight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Who keeps the bag? You go a bag of potato chips, you know, you got a bag like this, and you got that many potato chips in it, right?
Right.
It's taking advantage of people.
It is. This is a good place to stop for the evening. So we'll pick up with verse 17 in chapter 25 when we come back together.